Merry Christmas!
It's great to see you all. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the wonderful, joyous news of Christ's birth, which is still relevant today, which is not just a blip in history, but something that has transformed the world as Christ has invaded this world, his creation, to offer life eternal and salvation. We pray that we would grasp hold of that, those gifts and those blessings of Christ today and each day. We pray this in his name. Amen. Christmas is very much a family time, a time of joyous celebrations and much food and festivities and presents. All of us have different families. Some of us don't get along with our families. Some of us get along very well with them. Others are perhaps grieving lost loved ones this time of year. You might be sitting next to someone right now who you really want to punch in the face for what they said to you last Christmas. You've heard the saying that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And the great thing about that is your family stick by you. By and large, you'll have them with you because they realise that there's no escaping and they'll have to sort things out. Family's important. Incredibly, as Jesus comes into the world, and that's what we see in our readings today, he offers the opportunity to join his family. In John it said, he has given the right to become children of God. Incredible. That we might belong to the eternal family of God, the security and joy and hope and life eternal that that brings. This is part of the good news of Christmas. Today we celebrate when God stepped into the world and offered us the greatest security and joy and hope there is, the opportunity to be a child of his, with all the privileges and benefits and with the certain hope of eternal life. Now there are four biographies of Jesus in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And if we were Sesame Street playing one of these things, it's not like the other. John is the one that stands out. It's strange. While Matthew, Mark and Luke tell us these lovely stories of nativity, John approaches things more from the philosophical or cosmic angle. There's no cute and cuddly baby Jesus in John's gospel. Instead, John wants us to realise exactly who this is that is coming into the world. And to remember that while this is an account of Jesus' birth, it's not an account of his beginning. Christmas may be Jesus' birth, but it's not his beginning. Let me read the first few verses of John 1, and if you have your Bible near you, you might like to take it up and follow along with me. When he mentions the Word, we find out he's talking about the eternal Son of God, the one who is born at Christmas, Jesus Christ. And so John, in his sort of rather different approach to the Christmas story, begins this way. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, Jesus was there at the beginning of creation as the eternal Son of God. Through him all things were made. Not only that, he's the one who continues to uphold and sustain the universe and be the light of all mankind. Just as we here on earth are completely dependent on the sun to continue shining, to give us warmth and light by photosynthesis, to bring resources to the earth and all the incredible things that it does. Jesus is the light of the world that sustains and upholds it. The sun would not be shining were it not for his continued sustaining of the universe. Now, scientists often marvel at the way the ecosystem is able to adjust to drastic changes. There is darkness in our world, isn't there? And though all the damage that humans have been able to throw at this world, resiliently it's been able to survive. We might say there's damage here, there's damage there, but it's incredible how resilient the complex ecosystem of this world, this creation of God's, is. The darkness of sin has also many times caused God to consider destroying his creation and chucking it all in, like with the flood and Noah. But darkness has never triumphed. God in his goodness continues to sustain and uphold the earth. Verses 4 and 5 make clear that he is the source of life. And we read in Acts 17, "In him we live and move and have our being. The Son of God is the light." But these first five verses aren't talking about salvation and forgiveness that he offers. They're talking about the life-giving work of creating and sustaining everything. All life and light depends on the eternal Son of God. He's the centre of all things. If you've ever had a five-year-old, you know that they'll ask why, continually, to get to the bottom of things, because they're investigating. And in the end, all those questions come back to here. Jesus, the Word, who was there in the beginning, who continues to uphold and sustain the universe, is the light of the world. The answer to every why question comes back here. We get a pretty dramatic change of scene as John brings in verse 6. We go from the cosmic picture of God the Son being light to the world, to the introduction of a man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he's not just any man, he's a bit of a wacko who lives out in the desert, wears funny clothes and eats locusts and wild honey. Who is this crazy guy? It's a bit of a strange transition for John to make. But here we see a witness to the light. It's incredible that God would choose John to be the one to usher in the Son of God entering into the world. It seems crazy, really. But God chooses to use very ordinary and sometimes strange people like you and I to testify to the light that is Jesus. Throughout history, God has used quite ordinary people like you and me, beginning with Moses, the stuttering sheep farmer, to David, the adulterous king, to John the Baptist. God uses flawed, ordinary people like you and me to be his witnesses. But John the Baptist was witnessing to something absolutely incredible. He said the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So who is it that's coming into the world? Well, not just a baby crying in a manger, or, as you believe the lyrics of the song, not crying in the manger. This is the eternal Son of God who was there from the beginning. Through him, all things were made. He is the light and life of all mankind. And so we should expect a party, shouldn't we? A celebration. The light of the world is entering into his world, his creation, all that was made through him. But that's not what we read happens. Jesus was born in very humble beginnings. In verses 8 to 11, we see a complete lack of recognition. Nobody even seems to notice. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognise him, we read. Now, to be fair, it's not like they're expecting the light of the world to enter in. This is like undercover boss or something. You don't expect the CEO to come in sweeping the floors. And so when you see him doing that and dressed shabbily, you don't recognise him. And it was strange for him to enter the world in the way that he did. On the other hand, these days with all hipsters going around with long beards, you probably wouldn't notice Jesus as he came into the world, would you? He'd blend right in. I can't see any here. Adam's, oh no, there's a few hipster beards, not quite hipster beards. So, would we recognise Jesus coming into the world? Romans 1, on the other hand, tells us that we're completely without excuse, that we should recognise him. We know enough to be guilty of exchanging the truth about God for a lie. To make matters worse, not only did the world not recognise the eternal Son of God come into the world, but his own people, the Jews, didn't receive him, we read in verse 11. The Jews had the Old Testament promises of their Messiah. They should have been expecting this, and yet they completely rejected him. But in verse 12, we see some people did. Some people did receive and accept him. And to those who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, incredibly, he gives the right to become children of God. This is an adoption exercise. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were there at the beginning. And so to be a child of God is to belong to the family that started it all, a family that upholds the earth. You know you feel safe because your mum and dad are powerful in the world. They're able to make things happen, keep you safe, provide for you. That's why as a child you feel comfortable, you feel secure. Because you know that your parents can do things to keep you alive and safe and happy, and you know that they care about you. Well, imagine being a child of God, the one in charge. That's security and safety plus. So how does this happen? How have people received Jesus and how can we receive him? Well, John spells out that it's not by a natural descent. It's not just by being born into the family. No, this is a different sort of family. Not by human decision or a husband's will. That's how kids are normally born. But this isn't a natural birth. This is an adoption. It's only by God's initiative to adopt us into his family that we can be made his children. Here in this world, we live in a mess of darkness. There's light, there's darkness, there's good, there's bad. It's not just out there that we see that mixture either, it's in ourselves. In the end, sometimes we care, sometimes we don't, sometimes we're good, sometimes we find ourselves being utterly selfish, building our own little empire, our house, our perfect little family, our bank account, or perhaps our Facebook profile and popularity. And in reality, every single one of us is a sinner in need of a saviour. Back in verse 5, we saw that the mess of darkness that is the brokenness and sinfulness of the world is pervasive, and you and I are a part of that. We can't be, by natural birth, escaping that scenario. It's only by God's intervention into the world. And that's why Jesus came. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It's absolutely mind-blowing that out of love God would come down. That the eternal Son of God, the light of the universe, would set that aside to be born as a human being, vulnerable, crying, naive. It's incredible to be born as a human being into the world for you and I. It is so radical. And it's incredible that he, by doing so and by virtue of his death and resurrection on the cross, has given us the right to become children of God. It's not according to rank or pedigree or intelligence or moral uprightness or anything else, but by what Christ has done and by receiving him in faith, believing in his name, being born again in him. Every single person is equal before God. Every single person has the chance to trust in Jesus and receive his grace, forgiveness, mercy and eternal life. People who are refugees have no less value in God's eyes. Neither do men or women or people with a disability or lawyers. Everyone is equally guilty before God, and each one equally has the opportunity to trust in Jesus and receive his love, mercy, forgiveness and grace. Christmas is amazing, incredible, that God would choose to become one of us. What a joy it is that we have the privilege to become children of God, to know the Father through his Son, to receive grace upon grace already giving. That's a picture of it just overflowing. Look to Jesus and find security and hope. He's not just a baby in a manger who's nice and cute and cuddly, but he's the eternal Son of God who has come into the world out of love for you to bring you into the security of being a child of his. We're witnesses to the light, just like John was. And it's through broken and sinful people like you and me, through crazy guys like John the Baptist, that people will come to believe and to honour the name of Jesus and be saved. So let's take hold of the light of God in the forgiveness of Christ, who in love has entered our world to make us part of his family. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you so much for our Saviour Christ, the eternal Son of God, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but himself humbled, came into the world to become a human, a baby, and to grow up and die on the cross, to humble himself further, to be obedient to death, to take that upon himself so that we might be set free of it, adopted into your family, reconciled to our Heavenly Father, made right with you, and have the security and blessings and benefits therein. We pray this Christmas that we would celebrate Christ's birth and understand the fullness of that, and that we would take hold of the light and life that he brings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.